Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
And welcome back. I'm not Tim Wildman. I'm Ed Vitagliano, sitting in for Tim, who is feeling a bit under the weather, which we found out in the first hour is a nautical term from the old days of sailing. So, folks,
Walker was all over that.
You listen to today's Issues. We will fill in.
We're a font of information.
We'll fill in the gaps. Hey, Walker, since we did mention you, tell our folks a little bit about where they can view us and find some of these stories we've been talking about.
Yeah, if you go to Facebook, Today's Issues on Facebook, Today's Issues on Facebook, you can watch the show live there and see all our wonderful faces. I'm being sarcastic there, at least about my own. I'm not going to brag about my own face. But anyways, you can also read the stories there that we talk about and comment on the stories below. And also, you can go to AFR.net and listen to the past shows there.
So we're trying to climb kicking and screaming into the year 2017, at least us older folks.
We're trying to get to the cutting edge.
We're trying to get
we're
to the
trying.
Cutting
edge.
We're
right.
Somewhere on the handle. At least I am in my personal life.
We're crawling out to the cutting edge.
I'm somewhere on the knife handle, and we're trying to climb our way to the cutting edge. Ray Pritchard of Keep Believing Ministries, keepbelieving.com, right, is your website?
That's right.
And what can folks find there if they go?
Just a whole wealth of free biblical resources to help you believe in Jesus and to give you the strength and courage to keep believing in Him.
And Ray is on our board of directors and is live in studio with us. So just
doesn't happen very often.
Four times a year.
That's right.
And because we have our board meeting this afternoon, so we're always happy to have Ray in the studio with us. You heard Walker Wildman, who's assistant to the president. We want to welcome at this point now Steve Jordahl, who's a reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Steve, welcome.
Good afternoon, and am I to take that you are Tim Light?
I am Tim Light, yes.
All right.
Or Tim-like, you know, sitting in his chair. And
I figured you guys have probably been talking about Obamacare and Obamacare Light and everything.
We did. We talked for a while about it.
You're Tim if he had hair and a beard, right?
Yeah. I'm not going there.
Kaboom. See, but I'm only here for one day, so I can say stuff like that.
I think Tim is probably listening to the show.
He's going, these guys are done.
It won't be the first time.
I want to make sure that you understand that was Ray Pritchard.
That's right. If I recall correctly.
This is my final appearance on Today's Issues, folks.
If I recall correctly, the org chart goes board of directors, then the president, then the executive
Ray's
vice president.
Safe. Ray's good. He's immune.
He's immune from prosecution. May have to recuse himself,
that's right,
though.
That's right. I will recuse myself from the rest of the show.
All right. Now, Steve, I don't know what order of topics you have on your list of things to discuss, but I hope pretty close to the top is this WikiLeaks dump that is regarding the CIA. Is that what did you have at the top?
That was the top for me. I, as usual, have about 20 things that I could discuss if you wanted. I try to be over-prepared when I come into the studio because you never know where we're going
to go.
That's
right.
But this is an incredibly troubling thing to me. I just got off the phone with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, who kind of follows this stuff, and he is equally alarmed, although he has been alarmed for several years, ever since Edward Snowden kind of let out that this stuff was there. Here's the difference between what happened with Edward Snowden and what happened today with WikiLeaks, in my mind. Edward Snowden told us and found documents about these codes and these hacking tools.
Used by the federal, U.S.
government. Used by the
CIA
in this case. NSA, FBI. Today, with the dump of these documents, they released the codes themselves. There's codes that I was looking. I'm not
computer
a coder.
Code, right?
Computer code, so that anybody now has the hacking ability of the CIA. Which means, if you have a computer savvy neighbor that doesn't like the fact that your dog barks all night, he can blackmail you.
Steve, go back and explain that. That you went over that fast. Let's go back and say that again.
Yeah.
They released not only the data. They released the code.
They released the code, the actual hacking codes.
so that anybody who knows what they're doing,
anybody can do. Anybody
well,
know?
What I want to know, and this is huge, folks. We're going to talk about this. Spend some time on this. I want to know how the CIA can get hacked.
Right.
Well, I mean, if that's
they're supposed to be the hackers.
Yeah,
not the hackees.
And they do a lot of hacking, and they have a lot of malware, and they have the ability, as we kind of jokingly, but not really. The ability to listen on your cell phone, capture your cell phone, capture your use your television to, if you have a smart TV, to actually peer into your living room. We'll get to that in a second. But I assumed that the CIA was the one who does the hacking, and somebody hacked them and got all this code. And now it's out there for any ne'er-do-well, and that could be organized crime, that could be individual lone wolf blackmailers. This could be bad players, countries on the international stage.
And what some of the experts are equally as worried about is that it's our own government that is spying on us using these things. So, how did the CIA get hacked? Well, I used to work for an antivirus company, Trend Micro, in the Silicon Valley back in the day. And it's a race, basically. Someone devises a code of malware, and when you discover it, at least this is the way it used to be. I think the things have changed since then. But then you race to find a solution. And so the hackers are, in one sense, they're always kind of ahead of the curve. And I tell you, we just didn't know, I think, or it couldn't anticipate when the computer revolution started in the 70s that it was going to be so vulnerable, that we'd be so dependent on this technology, and that it would be so vulnerable to anybody. Mm-hmm. So somebody hacked into the CIA, and they gave a trove of this stuff to Julian Assange. And this is just the first. They have several hundred million lines of code. Mm-hmm. That he is going to eventually dump all over the internet.
Yeah, and also I'm reading directly from WikiLeaks' website. This could have been, when we say hacked, it could have been an inside job, so to speak, meaning that an employee who's at top levels of security goes into work one day, a disgruntled employee, or maybe someone like Edward Snowden who doesn't like what the CIA is doing, and they put in a flash drive. And they just download all this information they have.
Oh, I see.
So, and then years later, after they retire or leave, or while they're still employed, they turn over this information.
And this has to be fairly recent, because we're talking, again, this race. If you wait a couple years, it's old. It's probably useless information. But
tell our listeners, you mentioned malware.
Okay.
So I know we don't want to get into a defining all the relevant titles
computer
and names
stuff,
and
jargon,
but malware, most people have heard of it but don't know what it is. Since you worked in the field,
basically there's several different ways of infecting a computer, and we don't have to go into all of them here, but they are calling these, WikiLeaks is calling these day zero events. And basically a day zero event a day zero is a vulnerability in, say, your Apple iPhone or your smart TV. So it's a vulnerability that Apple or Samsung or any of the tech companies haven't figured out yet. They don't know it's there. Mm. And they call it day zero because the hackers say, once we launch this attack and get into there, you have 0 days to prepare for this. It's not like we're warning you and you can, you know, this is right now. So
there's no buildup. It's
right.
Just, it's done.
And so it can happen. In this case, it's over the internet. So they have a way of coding so that they can take over, basically look into the code that they interrupt the internet connection between you and your TV and your provider. Somewhere they get into the TV via the internet or your phone. Anything with an internet connection that plugs into the internet is vulnerable to this. And they say, and this is I'm reading from the same page that Walker was talking about. Recently, the CIA lost control of the majority of its hacking arsenal including malware, viruses, trojans, weaponized zero-day exploits, malware remote control systems, etc. Wow. So it's all out there now, folks.
Well, and one of the, we kind of teased this in the first hour. This whole idea of, and this used to be kind of the tinfoil hat kind of thing. I think the government is spying on me through my TV, but this literally means they put up, they create a false off mode for your television, so it looks like it's powered down,
right?
Nothing's on,
right?
But they are able through that screen, because it's connected to the internet. It's a smart TV, and therefore, if it's connected to the internet, somebody can draw information. They can actually listen and watch what's going on in your living room. I mean, this is not science fiction.
We, Shannon, my wife and I bought one of those Wii consoles. So she likes to do that at the exercise type stuff.
Right.
And it's one of those kinds that looks and it identifies you, and you can look at your silhouette doing the moves along with. So that is a TV that can see you and that can hear you. Some of these TVs, you say, find me a Western, classic Western movie or whatever, and it'll go. So it hears you. And that's what this false off mode is. They have programmed it so that it looks to the user like it's off, but it's not. And the same thing goes for the phones. They can listen to conversations, but it gets even weirder. Let me just.
Oh, good. Thank you, Steve.
This is comforting.
Listen to this. As of October 2014, the CIA was also looking at infecting the vehicle control systems used by modern cars and trucks. Did you guys talk about this?
We did not.
The purpose of such control is not specified, but it would permit the CIA to engage in nearly undetectable assassinations. Basically, you know how they have these, you have a cruise control on your car,
right.
For example. I took one of the AFA cars down to Orlando for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention this last week, and which reminds me, I got to report this in, because the cruise control stuck on me a couple times, where, you know, you push the brake, it's supposed to go off.
Right.
I pushed the brake, and it didn't. I had to jam on the brakes, and nearly, you know, it was scary, because I thought I was going to slow down, but I didn't. And, you know, it's really funny. It doesn't seem like you're going that fast on cruise control until you try to stop and it doesn't. And then it all of a sudden
right,
seems like you're in the Indy 500.
That distance between you and that car ahead of you,
it
shrinks in a hurry.
Very quickly. So they say, and they hadn't, as of 2014, it looks like they hadn't perfected it, but they were looking into controlling cars. So this is the quandary for me. Gentlemen and ladies out there listening, we expect our government to have these tools to be able to look into what our enemies
right,
are doing to thwart our plans. You know, our military, if they can look into
thwart their plans.
Their plans.
Yeah.
If our military can somehow look at what Iran is doing with their missile capabilities or whoever the enemy is, if we know what they're doing, if we can hack in and listen in on their planning, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
For us.
John Whitehead, who is an expert in this stuff, told me this morning that they are already listening. There was a couple memos that came out from the Obama administration that defined who persons of interest in this kind of situation are. And they're basically anybody who says anything negative about the internet, about the government. So, folks, if you have ever said anything on your Facebook feed that said, I'm upset with President Obama, and this was, you know, or President Trump, because he says this or that, he's funding Planned Parenthood, and it's wrong, and something needs to be done about it. You're according to John Whitehead, you are already on a list, and they are listening.
Possibly on a list.
Well, he says you are. Now,
listen,
that
I've
would
told
be millions of people.
I've told people when we're just kidding around, not here in this office, I do want to make that clear. They're just kidding around and saying, you know, the time for armed rebellion is coming. This is, you know, years ago. I would tell them, I would say, you shouldn't be saying that. First of all, it's not Christian, I think, it at least at this point. I said, but you better not ever text it. Or email it, or say it on a phone conversation.
That's like talking about a bomb in front of the TSA.
Yeah,
right.
I'm convinced that the Obama administration was listening and was using technology to keep an eye on people. And it doesn't mean that they're going to come and kick your door down.
Well, Steve, it sounds like you need to contact the CIA and ask them to fix that cruise control.
I think that's what I'll be doing. So this is the interesting thing. Under the Obama administration, they made an agreement with technology companies and said, we're going, as soon as we find these vulnerabilities in your products, we will tell you about them so you can fix them. That was the agreement they made. However, they broke that agreement and they started hoarding these vulnerabilities so they could exploit them, because they didn't necessarily want them all fixed, because if they fix them all, then they no longer have the ability to listen or watch. So, and again, what frightens me is not, maybe I should be more afraid of what the government can do, but there's a lot of very vicious and evil people out there, and if everybody has access to this, it's Katie bar the door.
Well, I'm going to get Ray and Walker in on this. Now, Ray, you know, it's great to have technology.
Right.
Technology is so useful. I mean, when I flew to Orlando, you know, to check in, you go to the little kiosk. I didn't even have to find my confirmation number. You just stuck the credit card in there and pulled it out, and they knew who I was. And they knew who was flying with me and what my – all of that. That's helpful. I mean, that makes things quick. It makes things easy. But like Steve was saying, we are all so tightly embedded in this technological system that forget about the dangers of solar flares that could wipe it all out and send us back to the 1850s. We are also extremely vulnerable.
So what is the average person to do? I mean, forget the senators and the congressmen and the spies and the agents out there. What are people like us supposed to do about the TV, about the car, about the iPhone, other than to say you need to know anything you say might be listened to by somebody somewhere, right?
Right.
The first thing that FBI Director James Comey once, not too long ago, testified in a Senate hearing that he puts a piece of tape over the camera in his computer.
Comey does that?
Comey does Comey that.
Does director
that.
Of
Comey
the FBI.
Does that. So, so if you're connected, it's simple, but you could put a piece of tape over. They can't look through the tape, so that would take care of the of the visible thing. The sound is hard because the microphone, you'd have to pretty much break
your computer.
Because
they have those systems like Alexa, where you can talk to it and it
the will. John Whitehead recommends is to call your senator and congressman and tell them to get a handle on this and quick. Now that it's out there, they can kind of clamp down on what the government does and have more transparency there. Although, you know,
here's a general rule, and I used to be, and sometimes still am, kind of a conspiracy theorist guy, and I look into all this stuff. What I've learned is essentially any internet connection you have is vulnerable. It's an open door.
Mm-hmm.
And so like at my house, for example, I bought this thing called a Canary, which is it's a smart security system. And it detects motion, videos it, then takes it right to my phone. And so if I'm out of town and someone breaks into my house, it'll video them, send me a video immediately and record it and all that.
And then I can call the police
and say someone's in my house. Well, what I learned about this is it's connected to the internet. And so if someone around my house somehow gets into my internet system, they can watch inside my house. And so there's been cases of people hacking in and watching babies with the baby cameras and stuff.
I've read that.
And so if you can avoid having all this, and like the now they have your thermometer and your lights are all, you can get them all on your smartphone, so you can close your garage door and cut your lights on and unlock your door from your phone. That's vulnerable.
Right.
And so I would say the more you can stay away from having appliances run by the internet, the better.
So I hear you guys saying old school solutions. Okay,
off the grid,
off the grid. I drove to work today in my I almost said 2,000-year-old. No, my year 2000 Toyota Camry, which has almost no smart capabilities at all. You have to unlock it with my key. Mm-hmm. Now, I obviously, you know, at some point we want to upgrade that, but I'm going to wear that thing out. But but I feel safe from the CIA trying to assassinate me
You're good.
In my car.
Can you take – you mind driving me home today?
That's right. That's
in terms of home security, big dog.
Yeah.
Big, you know, this is the kind of thing where you're just going to have to learn, maybe sign up for one of these kinds of financial security outfits that, you know, they say, listen, did you apply for a mortgage today?
Right.
No, I didn't. Okay, those kind of things. You said, Steve, it's a race between, and this has always been the case, between bad guys and good guys. There is a race to get an advantage. This goes all the way back to walls made cities impregnable in the Middle Ages. So when gunpowder came and they could shoot cannons, it would tear walls down. So then you have to adjust. Life is like that. It is one adjustment after another, but you better be paying attention.
It's funny because when you opened this half hour, you said that the technology was dragging you into 2017.
Yeah.
I think you might want to be pulled back into about 1980 would be good if we could go back. It's funny. There's been several movies, a couple that come to my mind out there that have kind of tackled this from a tinfoil hat kind of perspective. One of them was with Will Smith called Enemy of the State.
I remember that. I remember that movie.
And the other one was Shia LaBeouf, Eagle Eye, where they had you ever seen that one?
And I won't give it away. I've seen it. I don't ever recommend movies because I don't remember what was in it.
Right,
but
exactly.
But Eagle Eye, I do remember, had a great twist at the end. But that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, well, we're not doing movie reviews. You can actually, but Eagle Eye was about a computer that they tried to get online that would take all the information about what was happening from all the cameras, public cameras and everything, and give law enforcement ostensibly a heads up about what was going on. But the intelligence inside that computer took over and decided that the government itself was the biggest threat to freedom in this country. And so it wanted to eliminate all of the government, president on down. And
let's you talk about tinfoil hat stuff. Let's not go to the Terminator scenario, okay, where the computers reach the singularity and become self-aware, and then they lock you out of your house.
I'm
the
pretty
computer
sure
does.
Yeah. Time travel, we still haven't unlocked yet.
My belief in technology is technology will never be smarter than human beings. The reason is because human beings develop technology. And so the ones developing it.
Well, I'm sorry, Walker. You just have not been watching enough movies.
That's right.
Enough sci-fi movies.
That's right. Watch a few more sci-fi movies. And no, listen. I think it is important for Christians to remember. This is right out of Isaiah 8. You can go read Isaiah 8. We could get a scripture reference in here where God tells the people of Israel, "Do not fear conspiracies." And then God actually uses, at least in my version, the word conspiracies. He says, I am the only one you should fear. So Christians should be wise.
Mm-hmm.
They should not be afraid of the things that are happening on the earth. God is overseeing those. We should take appropriate steps to protect ourselves, if possible, but fear the Lord alone. So, folks, this is if you get a text from us, it's not from us.
That's right.
Okay, we're not texting you. Okay, so anyway, listen, Steve, thank you so much for this. I want to keep an eye on this kind of thing because this really is an absurd amount of power.
I think it's going to be a developing story along the line here.
All right, folks, well, we're done for today. This is today's issues. Ed Vitagliano, Ray Pritchard, Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl. We have been your hosts today. Hope you have enjoyed and learned something. And we invite you to listen, continue listening to American Family Radio. More great programming directly ahead. Have a great day.